Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. We're back on Blog Talk Radio, syndicated news. This evening, we've got an invited guest that's going to really entertain you. We're going to talk about things that, on a regular basis, we wouldn't have. That's a butler. Well, I personally wouldn't have a butler, but many of you would. And we're going to be talking to Stephen Ferry of the International Institute of Modern Butlers. But first, of course, we want to give our thanks to our Shadow Ops in San Jose, California, our sponsors. We're so proud to have them support our efforts on the air. And in a second, we'll start our evening with Steve Ferry. Stephen, you're here already. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Ruthie. Glad to be there or here.
This is Stephen Ferry, and we're going to refer you to his website through the evening. And I wanted to ask you, let's start with a butler. Where does a butler come from? I mean, where did that begin?
Well, if you know your Bible, you might remember that in Genesis, the Pharaoh threw his cupbearer and his baker into prison. Luckily for the butler, otherwise known as the cupbearer, he was allowed to go back onto the job, but the baker fluffed it, I'm afraid. So that's the earliest written mention of a butler. But the modern concept of a butler really dates back only 1,000 years to the lord in his castle. And after a few centuries of having someone look after his animals, he probably thought it was a good idea for someone to look after him too, and that thereby was born what we can trace back the current butler to. At that time, he was really making the beer, looking after the beer, looking after the wine, and serving them at table. And in those days, everyone drank beer. They didn't drink water because it wasn't hygienic enough. And so they tended to drink about a gallon of beer a day. And the butler was in charge of that a day. But if you were to taste it, you would think, oh, boy, this is really a rather weak. And obviously, if you're going to be drinking a gallon of, in order to have enough fluids for yourself, if you're going to drink enough, you need to have about a gallon, and you can't have a strong beer for that. Well, you wouldn't get much done.
Well, I have a few questions here. I mean, I'm just looking at your website. It's marvelous. There's a sentence there that catches my eye. It goes like this. Our goal is employers well served by employees who are capable of intelligently executed, anticipatory, and invisible service. Tell us about that. That seems very quiet in the background, I guess.
That's totally it. And the principle is that it's the boss, the guests who are on the stage, not the butler. And in I think particularly in America, it tends to be the other way around. If you go to a restaurant, you're more likely to have the waiter on the center of the stage with his agenda as important, more so than the actual diner's experience. In a way, I like the American service. It's full of life. It tends to be full of life, and it's quite upbeat. But actually, if you're just trying to enjoy your meal, it becomes a bit of an annoyance.
It is an annoyance. It is an annoyance when the waiter's trying to tell me about when he brought his girlfriend in and they had the provolone and I don't want to know. I just want to eat.
Exactly. You like some good advice on what's good on the menu, and you just like to have it presented rapidly and smoothly and invisibly, really.
And I don't want to be rude, so I have to entertain him and hear it through. And I find myself in that position sometimes. And it's unfortunate because sometimes I'm in a restaurant because I'm there to taste the food for a short review, and they'll waste my time talking about that, and I actually don't get to taste anything. That has happened where they've occupied my time.
Now, what kind
of person has a butler? What kind of person?
Someone who recognizes the value of a butler and taking the mundane things that one has to do in order to live off his plate so that he can enjoy his wealth. I mean, if you're going to be wealthy, why keep washing the dishes, sort of, is the idea.
I absolutely agree. I absolutely agree.
To afford a butler, you would need really to be a bit more than a millionaire. You'd have to be a multimillionaire several times over in order for the pay scale of a butler to make much sense. Otherwise, he's going to get rich while you get poor.
I see. And how many years have you been in this business of training butlers?
I would say about off and on, almost 10 years.
Ah. And my next question, isn't the butler kind of an anachronism? What do you think?
Well, if you like service, he definitely isn't an anachronism, but I know what you mean. A butler, the stuffy, stiff upper lip butler who tends to look down his nose at you. I once tried to work out what could be the collective noun for a butler, like a flock of geese or a herd of whatever, cows. the closest I could get would be a sneer of butlers.
Oh, a sneer of butlers.
Yes.
I see.
And that's the kind of reputation or image that one would really like to get rid of, because that's the old-style butler. And I personally think he is a bit of an anachronism. But he certainly looks good in the movies. Like I'm thinking of John Gielgud, in a way, in Arthur, for instance.
Oh.
Have you
yes,
seen that?
Yes.
I
was
he
thinking
does
of the gentleman in Batman.
He certainly is, but he's not a sneering type butler. He's actually a very good butler. He just quietly works in the background to fix things.
Yes, he's a fixer.
Yeah. And he cares for his... In actual fact, it's not fair to Sir John Gielgud in Arthur, because he really does care for his boss, but his boss is just a bit of a prat, if you know what that means. English word, probably. And so he really acts as a father figure, so he doesn't really count as a fully-fledged butler in terms of a role model.
Well, I don't have a butler, but our audience, some members of our audience do. Now, I'd like to know what makes a butler a valuable facility in a private home?
Really? Well, of course, what you're doing is taking off the plate of the employer, the drudgery or the administrative things that need to be done, or the running and the minutiae of the running of a house. But what makes him valuable is his understanding of what the butler's role is in providing invisible anticipatory service. If you know your boss well enough and you've got eyeballs to see, you can see what his current condition is, and you can predict what do I need to do in order to make him happy in 10 minutes' time, and therefore it would be ready before the boss even asked for it. And that in itself has great value to a person, because it means that your life just tends to smoothly roll ahead and you can focus on enjoying yourself or doing things which are possibly more a better use of your time.
I would take it then that a butler is also, it's similar to a personal assistant.
In a way, in that you're basically lightening the load for the employer, but a personal assistant doesn't run the house, doesn't serve at table, doesn't look after the staff, and so forth. A personal assistant more acts as a relay point between the employer and other staff, and also looks after the personal interests of the employer rather than the household interests.
Oh, I see. I see the difference.
Yes.
Now, the hallmarks or the traits of a good butler, what would you say that would be?
There is probably quite a few. The more important ones are loyalty, and that means keeping your own counsel. You're obviously well exposed to an employer and the private life of the employer. You happen to know his peccadilloes. You're privy to various things that most people, possibly even the spouse, doesn't know. And therefore, you don't want to be going around doing what I call a Paul Burrell, which means exposing the family secrets to the entire world. What you want to do is to keep your own counsel and respect the privacy of the employer. So loyalty, I think, is high on the list. Another one would be discretion, which sort of comes under the same banner.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. Obviously, providing invisible service. And I think a butler is somebody who doesn't aim to provide good service. Good service is actually the starting point for a service from a butler. He aims to provide exquisite or superb service. So merely coming up with something that's good doesn't really cut the mustard. You want to come up with something that makes the person go, wow, now that's good. I can give you an example. Actually,
Please do.
Good. This is actually from the hospitality side more than the private side, but there was one couple who got married in London in the 70s, and they went to Ireland to celebrate their 25th anniversary, and they went to the same hotel, hotel that was part of the same chain, and the hotel, of course, found out that it was their 25th, and the normal response from a fairly responsible or caring hotel is, oh, let's do something to make it special, and they're probably going to come up with something like, let's do a cake, or something like that, or a champagne bottle. That's the sort of normal response, and that's good service, but if you go beyond that, as this hotel did, then you will get the wow response you're looking for. And what this hotel did was they contacted the hotel in London, and they said, what did this couple eat, and what music did they listen to when they got married?
Oh.
And so... Yeah, and this is the way they presented it. So when the couple came down to celebrate their 25th anniversary at dinner, of course they got the best table in the house, but they were presented with not the usual menu, but the menu that was a replica of the one 25 years ago. And they didn't spot that there was some difference here, so they made their order. But they were not given what they ordered that day. They were given what they'd ordered the 25 years before. And at the same time, the band...
The butler? Did the butler come up with that idea?
No, I think it was the general manager. But I'm giving this as an example. For me, this was a really powerful story, which illustrates what the butler is going for. And the fact that it wasn't a butler that thought of it doesn't mean anything particularly, because it's not just butlers that work for a superlative level of service, but they're fairly few and far between people who work on that basis. But... The band started to play the same music, and it was about the time that they got the first course, and they thought, wait a minute, we didn't order this. And then they're hearing this music, and it's sort of taking them back subconsciously to 25 years ago, and suddenly it dawns on them what the hotel is doing. And
they've recreated it. How beautiful.
And recreated what? The happiest
moment
of their life. Yes,
that
exactly.
Memory.
So
that is,
I mean, the lady,
lovely.
It is lovely. The lady was in absolute tears about it. Joy, of course. Anyway, characteristics or traits of a butler. You also have to be a good organizer. You also have to be unflappable. You don't want to run around flapping your wings like a chicken every time there's some minor problem and turning a molehill into a mountain. So a butler really has to be quite calm, cool, and collected. And always... seeking to smooth the way for everybody.
That's lovely. Now, what's going to distinguish, I'd say, a good butler from other service professionals? What distinguishes the butler from them?
Again, I think it's invisible service. Do you know the expression, a guest like fish stinks after 3 days?
Oh, yes. I know that expression, yes.
And you probably have the reality of it occasionally. Someone overstays their welcome at that.
Oh, yeah. A cousin comes over for a day, and it turns into a week and a half.
There you go. Imagine what it's like after a week and a half. It gets to be a bit ugly. But imagine what it's like after 3 weeks or 3 months or 3 years or 30 years or 60 years that the butler would be in service for one family sometimes. Mm-hmm. In the remains of the day. The movie, which is a splendid movie. I recommend it to anyone. It's a classic. But in there, the under-butler says that he's served at table every day for the last 55 years, which I think is a telling point. So where you have loyalty, it's a wonderful thing to behold. But imagine what it's like having a stranger in your house for 60 years. It gets to be old. And so what distinguishes the... How do the butlers manage to survive? How do they get it to the point where... What characterizes the service that they provide, I would say, is invisible service. If you're not there, then how on earth can the boss get upset or feel that you've overstayed your welcome? He won't. And so that's why the butler is always invisibly and discreetly and quietly working behind the scenes to provide anticipatory service, and that makes you a benefit rather than a liability. And I would say that's the one thing that the main thing that characterizes butler service. But another interesting movie to see is Gosford Park. And in that, the head housekeeper at the very end of the movie is Helen Mirren, a wonderful actress. She says, I'm a wonderful servant. I'm the best servant. And she says, what characteristic do you think distinguishes, what's the most compelling characteristic of a butler, of a servant? What distinguishes the highest level of service? And the person she's asking doesn't know the answer. And she says, it's the gift of anticipation. I know when they'll be hungry and the food is ready. I know when they'll be tired and the bed is made. I know it before they know it themselves. And that's just such a beautiful line on her part, but it really does summarize what makes the superior level of service that a butler subscribes to, and obviously also others as well.
Is that the movie where the butler the woman was more attracted to the butler than he was attracted to her? But I remember, who was that actor? It was a lovely movie. Can't remember the actor.
I don't think it was that, because it was a scullery maid that had her eyes on the butler. And of course, was horrified at the idea.
Yeah, that's not the movie. Well, very importantly, I'm looking at the butler book. And the butlers keep a book, I see.
It
lists names, phone numbers, suppliers, landscape, gardeners, the tree surgeon, the swimming pool maintenance fellow, the electrician, the heating, cooling, and for the HVAC, the plumber, the window cleaner. Who handles the cars, the fine art, the furniture, the video? This is unbelievable. And they come in with this, or this is something they take over from the last butler? How does it work?
Well, hopefully, if the last butler was worth his salt, then he definitely would have kept the butler book. But there's enough instances of butlers going in and finding no butler book, and they have to start from scratch. But that is a high priority in terms of... for a butler is to actually get that book together, because otherwise you're scrambling every time you need to do something. You're scrambling to find the resource and you end up with the wrong resource because it's not a very good vendor and so on.
Now, so, when a butler leaves the service, doesn't he take his book with him?
Oh, no. That's a book that applies to that house.
Okay.
So there's no point in knowing what chiropractor your boss used in Boston if you're moving to Tucson, Arizona. So, but it's different from a book on how to do things. That's different.
This is just wonderful. Stocking the bar, approximate guests, how much to order. I mean, this is this is very important.
Yes, I've had quite a lot of feedback from people about that book, and the thing they most appreciate is all those checklists at the back. It's not me pontificating at the front.
Oh, suggested room checks. I mean, this is the guest room. What's your place in the guest room? You know, I know this is for butlers, and I realize this is a book specifically so that people know what to do with a 21st century butler professional if they have one or if they want one. But this is also wonderful. I think it would serve to organize any home. A head housekeeper, I think, would be helped by these wonderful lists. They're beautiful.
I'm glad you said that. I actually feel that even if you don't have any employees, that book is actually something you could use yourself if you'd like to organize your life, and whether it's in terms of putting on a dinner party or packing for your traveling engagements.
Yes, every home needs one.
There you go. That's a good tagline.
Truly. Any home would be served by this book. Now, in terms of privacy, I remember when a butler that worked for a member of the royal family in England decided to write a tell-all. How frowned upon is that? And don't they have contracts that prohibit butlers and personal assistants and such from going public with the family's information?
You know, in the old days, you would never consider having a contract. You would never expect the butler to open his mouth at all. People actually did have discretion. They did follow the characteristics and the traits of the butler.
It was understood.
Absolutely understood. It's actually with horror that the butler community looks upon what Mr. PB did. And anyone else who may have spilled the beans over the years. But his actions in particular were rather unsavory in view of what happened to his employer and the upset that he's caused the family afterwards. I sometimes wonder for myself in that particular example, what he claims that he was protecting his boss or protecting her reputation. I'm thinking, why does her reputation need protecting? She's one of the most popular ladies in the whole world, or was. So it's just so, and the point is, when you do that, you not only harm the employer, you harm yourself, because you yourself have violated your own integrity. And also, you harm the profession. Every time a butler does
absolutely.
Isn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, are you going to hire a butler next time it's on the cards when you're thinking about what PB did?
Well, I don't know who's going to hire him ever. But anyone
Never.
That even sounds like him or looks like him, people would be very, very concerned about it.
Yes, or you say you're a butler, they're concerned about that. So I'm not that amused. I don't think he's going to want to work as a butler because he now is worth several million dollars selling cheap plonk.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I didn't know that. That's
he sells it under the name of, it's a royal wine or something he calls it. I don't know, can I get sued for saying that?
No, that's when you're speaking factually and you're stating the truth, that it's when you say something that's off or not substantiated. But that's not you're not making a reference, rather you're not making a suggestion. You're repeating an actuality. You're stating something that he's done.
Thank you for that.
People can't get sued for stating the obvious.
Yes, well,
that's something he's done publicly.
Absolutely it is, and my message to him, if he were listening, which I'm sure he isn't, but if he were to listen, I'd say, please come clean on this and get your integrity back. You'll feel much better for it.
And just stop it, just stop it.
Yeah.
I love these points, the Household Professional Code of Ethics. This is so, so lovely. It's such an honorable expectation. Household Professionals Code of Ethics. Integrity. Tell us about integrity there.
Well, we're looking here. Integrity means wholeness. If you do something which is harmful to another, you sort of become less whole yourself. And so let's take a simple example. Let's say you steal something from the boss.
Mm-hmm.
Or in the old days, for instance, you were allowed one, every sixth bottle of wine was the butler's. So as long as you took one in six bottles, you were all right. But if you started to take two in six, your integrity starts to fly out the window. And that does impact your ability to do your job as well as your general happiness in life. The best thing to do is not to get into that sort of thing. But if you did, the next best thing to do is to come clean on it. And somehow make up the damage. So if I'd stolen 20 bottles of wine from my boss, I'd put 25 back. And then I'd come clean and say, I'm very sorry, sir, but I took a few extra bottles, but I've now replenished them. And a much better vintage, if I might say.
and hopefully the boss
would like that.
Yeah, and who would need 20 bottles of wine? I mean, who could consume that much liquor?
Yes, exactly. So the boss wouldn't mind as long as you replaced it. But he certainly isn't going to miss 20 bottles of wine if he's any sort of a boss and he's got any sort of a wine cellar. But that's obviously not a justification to steal any. But having done it and rectified it, I don't think the boss would be too mad at you for having done it. And you'd probably keep your job. He might respect you for having the integrity to come clean. But that's what I would say about integrity.
Now, confidentiality.
Very important. It's easy to get into sort of talking about things you've observed, even if it's just talking to your wife about it, but then she talks to the lady next door, and the next thing you know, the boss is reading about it in the paper. So it was Sir Winston Churchill who said, he was actually talking about diplomats, but it applies equally to butlers, you should think twice before saying nothing. And I would say that that definitely applies in order to maintain security, one thing, but also the private information of the employer.
And service.
Yes. Service is what it's all about. If you do not have do not take joy in bringing a smile to another's face, then don't bother being a butler. And if you do have a butler and he doesn't enjoy serving, then really you should find another one. But there's a terrific joy. It's actually more remunerative and more fun to outflow, to do something, to be of service to another, than it is for someone to do something for you. I think... Maybe your list.
Yeah, service attracted my attention because it's in your book right here, and it says, serve the employer as the employer chooses to be served.
Actively
speak to determine their preferred style of service.
Exactly. Some people like formal, mm-hmm. Some people like informal. The one thing about new money and Americans particularly, they like people to be, they don't really realize that you have to be slightly formal when you're a butler. Yes, you don't have to be stiff, but you must never cross that invisible line. There's a line which says, hey, you're not family. And you never cross that into being chummy, clap the boss on the back, sit down and eat with him. That goes beyond that crosses the line and then results in familiarity, which obviously, as we know, in common law leads to contempt.
Oh, but absolutely. Absolutely. And I'd like to know about these. I mean, these lists are just marvelous. These lists. Lawful behavior. Let's hear about that. What did you mean by
well,
that? I see what it says, but I want you to give us that lawful behavior.
Certainly. Obviously, a butler does not want to get into anything which is illegal. He's
certainly.
Basically, I wouldn't say he's a yes man, but he certainly is, sir, whenever a boss asks for something. But once you start going down the slippery slope of doing something illegal, you open mm-hmm. yourself up to problems. I don't know if you're familiar with Jeeves and Wooster, are you?
No.
Okay, Jeeves, it's... A wonderful series written, I think, in the 30s, 20s and 30s. Jeeves is the butler or the valet. He's actually called a man Friday, someone who does everything. He cooks, he drives, he cleans, he dresses the boss. He does everything for the boss, including, in his particular case, counseling him and keeping him out of trouble the whole time. But lost my thread.
We were talking about Jeeves and Wooster, you were saying.
Yes, and apropos to your question.
Yes, the servant and the boss, the two, we were talking about those. And I'd like to ask about, how should one run one's butler?
Okay, let's change the subject then. One of those embarrassing moments at radio when the person speaking can't even remember what he was going to say.
It's perfectly fine. We don't have there's no rush. There's no one interfering, and there's no interruption. You're allowed to speak freely without interruption, which is the nicest thing.
It is. And thank you for being so such a pleasant host. So the question again?
How would one run a butler? How do you manage a butler?
I would say you do not want to micromanage. Mm-hmm. You want to run him with dignity, and you'd want to liaise with him once a day at least, roughly, so that he can tell you what's happening and he can find out from you what you want. A butler worth his salt is very competent and capable of running the house and doesn't need to be second-guessed or micromanaged. So you just give your instructions and let him get on with it. And I would also give him the power to run the house. Don't require that everything that needs to be done needs to be approved by you. Otherwise, why have you got a butler? You should have a butler that you can trust to run the house, so let him get on with it. And that's what I think the best way would be, yeah.
So we will take just one little second to talk about Shadow Ops in San Jose, California, a discreet company that's very involved with network engineering. They can handle companies at a corporate level, mid-sized firms. They are efficient, very professional, and they can help everyone and anyone that's running a firm in the United States or overseas. If you need help, they're the company to call. San Jose, California, that's Shadow Ops. And this is Blog Talk Radio, syndicated news. We're spending the evening with Stephen Ferry. We're talking about butlers, the best ones, the ones that we don't want, and exactly how to go about hiring a butler, because that's important too. And for those of you who have your own butlers or want one, you're in the right place. We're speaking to Stephen Ferry. Now then, about the fit, how do you go about finding a butler and making sure that that butler fits that family?
Personally, what I do is I get to know the family. That's the first criterion. What do they want from their butler in terms of duties, but also what sort of a character are they looking for? You've got the basic requirements or characteristics of a butler that you want to see in place anyway. But then beyond that, there's also the chemistry, really. I cast as broad a net as possible so as not to miss out on any potential candidates. And then I start talking to them and vetting them and explaining very precisely what it is the duties are, what the remuneration is, and what the character of the employer is, because that's something one has to assess as well. And what one is looking for is, one, a fit, and two, a willingness. If the person is interested in working for that employer, as stated, then one obviously does background checks and so forth for the ones that one narrows down to make sure there's nothing hidden that's suddenly going to bite you in the derriere. Having presented the candidate and the boss likes him, then you find out that actually he's got a criminal record, which, of course, violates the would make them ineligible for working in a wealthy house. Then it's a matter of introducing them to the employer and having them spend time with the employer on site and being toured around. If the person likes what they see and if they feel they can work in that environment and they're introduced to the other staff, the likelihood is that there's going to be a good fit. But even then, the best thing to do, if possible, is to have the candidate, once accepted by the employer, to work there and be paid for it for a week. And it's not that all issues that could possibly come about would be apparent within a week, but the likelihood is that they will see what the operating environment is, and also the employer will see a bit more and up close how that person can actually perform and what they're like as a character. And on that basis, if all things are go, all things being equal, then you go ahead and the candidate will still be on probation. And it works both ways. Maybe the candidate doesn't really want to have a relationship any further with that employer. Of course.
I see.
And you'd rather end it sooner rather than later if it's not going to be a fit.
Because he's testing it too.
Yes, exactly. The smarter employment agencies will actually give you a very accurate and upfront statement of what the employer is like, and they won't hold back. They'll actually say, look, this employer is a real bear to work for. Do you think you can put up with that? And when they do that, it results in less aggravation and upset because there's no recrimination and false starts.
That gives them a little bit of a comfort level there.
Yes, it
now,
does.
Now, very, very interesting, because this my audience always wants to know about their return on their investment. I never thought of a return on investment in terms of a butler. What sort of things can a butler do for his employer, and what's the return on investment? They're investing money in this individual.
Yes, a lot of money sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, if you've already got $20 million, let's say, then why are you spending your time running a household as opposed to going out and playing or doing other more worthwhile things? If you've got someone as CEO of your company, then why don't you have a CEO of Home Inc.? Because they're going to free up your time to make more money. Plus, yes, and the butler then, because he's focused and he's more trained and so forth, he's focused on running the place well, so he'll be able to save you a bit of money, but that's obviously not a huge return on investment, although it can be. So you measure it in terms of the quality of your own life, but also, strictly speaking, in the amount of attention units you have freed up in order to make more money yourself. So it's definitely an ROI.
Absolutely. And the next question, this is unusual. Renting a butler, kicking the tires, so to speak, you know, the idea of somebody being so close and personal before they make an investment in one. Is there an opportunity to rent a butler to test them out?
There certainly is. Yes, there is. The Institute has a rent-a-butler program. We try and match character, but also it's geographically speaking, we try and find someone who's close enough, especially if it's just a one night or a one evening thing. But you can also rent a butler for several months, if you want to go traveling with a butler, you could rent one as well. And it is a good idea to kick the tires, or just to have an extra special treat. For a certain period of time.
And, of course, you know we're going to ask because, you know, the audience is going to want to know, am I paying too much for mine, or I better be quiet and be nice to my butler because I'm paying him so little? What is the typical salary for a professional butler, a top-of-the-line butler? Discretion,
top of the line.
Professional, the works. This is a butler who has it all.
Okay. For the real top of the line, someone just got placed for $500,000.
A butler.
Yes. Now, we're not talking about a butler who opens the door and serves the table and answers the phone. That's the traditional old-style butler, and he usually goes for a lot less. But when you're talking about a butler who's a really, strictly speaking, the proper title would be butler administrator or estate manager, when you have someone who's running 27, I beg your pardon. When you have someone who's running multiple estates, yachts, airplanes, tens of people, hundreds of people possibly, you're talking about someone who really is the equivalent of a CEO of a fairly large company or even a mid-sized company. It's my understanding that one particular gentleman, it's actually quite interesting. I mean, this information was in the public domain, so I can provide it, but he only earns $500 million a year, poor fellow. But he spends $700
million.
He's not particularly worried about running out of money because he's got another 120 years worth at that rate before he actually becomes destitute. But
poor
the point
thing.
Is that he... Yeah, I know. I feel sorry for him. but he's not... He's got a butler then who's looking after an awful lot of things and has a lot of responsibility, and why shouldn't he be paid a handsome sum for it? You can bet that he's pulling long nights in order to earn that salary. One particular lady I was consulting a few years back, she has 27 properties.
Okay.
And when I say a property, I'm talking about maybe 5 acres average, 15,000 square feet per on average.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So,
these are estates.
When you have, yes, there are estates, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But someone running that actually deserves some fairly hefty remuneration in order to, especially when you know what the employer was like. There was a reason she was willing to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars for the butler.
Because she didn't want to handle it.
No, she didn't.
And he had professional expertise, so she can actually relax if he's in charge.
Yes, exactly, and she should be able to. All he provides her with is duns. Yes, madam, that was done, and I thought you might be interested. We did this, this, and this, and she says, oh, thank you very much, and her life's just a breeze, rather than one problem after the other. And that's the way it should be.
And you call it the duns, the things that are done. That's excellent.
Yes.
Excellent.
In other words, you provide compliance to any requests and also preemptively say, we took the liberty of doing this and this, I hope you approve. And of course she does, because you know that she would.
Of course, and it's such a favor and such a convenience that they're offering her.
Exactly. I mean, I spoke to this lady and I said, she actually had a butler who wasn't quite up to par.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, you've managed to get into a position in life where you've got everything. There's not many people in that position. So why not enjoy it? You don't need to be continually pulled down into being the butler, because the butler is a bit weak. And so we basically took the opportunity to get her another butler. And she was obviously happy with that, because then she could start enjoying and living her life.
And not worrying about, she's basically doing the butler's job.
Exactly. Yeah.
Not good at all. Now, I'm noticing that you also have a book out where you're training butlers for World Hotels.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Well, it's actually quite interesting. The first hotel that had butlers was actually in India. It was the one of the chains there. And the employer had butlers himself, because he was a wealthy Raj, I believe, or something like that. He had butlers himself, and he was starting to lose market share, and guests were no longer staying at his hotel chain. And he said, well, why don't we put in a butler system, a butler service for the entire hotel? And he did that, and my understanding is that his guests started to come back. He started to take over market share. Revenue doubled, and it was a very successful program, but he didn't export it particularly. He didn't talk to anyone about it other than his guests. But then it started to take off in about the late 80s, around 88. It was actually the Bellagio, which is obviously a casino. You know it, huh?
Yes, I know it very well.
Good. Well, it's obviously a wonderful hotel, and like many other casino hotels, they provide free accommodation, free apartments to their high rollers in order to attract them. And so there was obviously competition among these casino hotels. And so the question was, what can we do to make it even more attractive so they'll come to our hotel and gamble? And they said, well, you know, we've already got a huge apartment, it's got a swimming pool in it and everything else. What we can do is improve the service. So what they did was introduced serving each course in the apartment by room service. They weren't really butlers, but they were starting to do the kind of things that butlers do. And the guests really liked that, so they kept that program in and expanded on it a bit. But it still wasn't necessarily a butler concept. But the Lanesborough in London, which is another very high-end hotel, then picked up on the concept and put the English butler spin on it, adding things like packing and unpacking suitcases, looking after the wardrobe. And as a result...
Putting the wardrobe in the putting the clothing away?
Yes, exactly. And also putting it away day to day, but also brushing it and pressing it and cleaning the shoes. And I don't know exactly what the level of service was then, because I never actually experienced it. Well, I would have liked to. But that's the general idea of what they should be doing, and maybe they were. But from there, it grew bit by bit. And then in the last three, four years, it's just increased very rapidly as hotels, managements, and owners have realized that if you're already offering everything that could possibly be offered, and there's only so much that marble and gold leaf can do, the best or easiest place to get return on investment is in improving service, and what better way to do that than the quintessential service provider that the butler is. So more and more hotels have signed up to butler service, and frankly, I've been kept really busy and serve a few other trainers, several of them in the Institute and in a few other associations or schools around the planet. And we've been kept very busy trying to keep up with the demand.
Stephen, how long will it take you if we sent you an intelligent, professional man and who had already accomplished, I don't know, succeeded at something else and just loved and wanted to be of service and be a butler, a professional butler, how long would it take you to train him?
If he had no experience, but he had a service heart, as you said, I would say that the proper answer to that is one lifetime. A colleague of mine did work for the Queen of England for 3 decades, I believe, and his comment was being a butler is a lifelong learning experience. But if I were to just get them up to the point where they're up and running and actually doing quite well as a butler, but obviously still needing to do a tremendous amount of expansion of their knowledge base as well as skills, I would say I would want to have them for a minimum of 2 weeks, preferably 4, and even 5, 6, 7, 8. It depends how polished you want him and how broad a knowledge base you want. I mean, the subject of wine alone, which is obviously the original domain of the butler, that's something you can spend a whole lifetime learning anyway. So get him to the point where he can open a bottle of wine, he can make a good pairing suggestion, and so forth, and do all the other things that a butler is expected to do, which is on a hands-on basis as well as a managerial basis. I think 8 weeks is fairly ambitious, but possible. 2 weeks, you could do something to get them to up and running. We always like to train on site ourselves because there you've got the actual environment in which the person's going to be working. So let's have them using the tools rather than working in some sort of sterile or generic environment. And I don't know, if we're talking about a hotel butler versus a private service butler, a hotel butler, I think 2 weeks would be the minimum to really do a good job. Private service obviously is going to take longer because there's so many more things a private service butler has to do.
I would think that would take several months to get someone up and running, to get them professional, to that point where he knows how to run the house. And like you said, a pairing suggestion for dinner and wine and basically running the accounts and getting the floors done and making sure that the kids' schedules for vacations are done. I'm assuming they handle all of that too.
Yes, absolutely. Or there's a nanny who handles it, but they still have to be able to know what the nanny should be doing in order to make sure they do it or to correct them. So you're quite right. I mean, if you were really to do a thorough job and you wanted someone who is absolutely accomplished and skilled, a year would be good.
But you just don't have that in practice. Can people go to your institute and sign up to take a formal course in being a butler? Is there such a thing as a formal course?
Yes, there are, but we don't run them. We prefer to run training on site. But you can. There are butler schools you can go to for private service. There's no hotel butler school. But for private service, one can go to a variety of schools, some better than others.
Person, 75, 80 years old, wealthy, relaxed, and my butler, I don't know, went to butler heaven. Now I want a new one. I do not want to wait a year. Can I bring you my, I don't know, my gardener and just bring him and say, here, make him a butler, and I'll be back in 4 months. Could you do it?
Yes, we absolutely could.
If the person
could.
Is willing.
Yes, and if they had some degree of sophistication, otherwise they're always going to be a somewhat, I mean, gardeners tend to be more down to earth. Although, what was that movie with the constant? No, it wasn't Constant Gardener. He's basically a gardener. Wait a minute. No, he's. Oh, I'm getting confused now. But anyway, a gardener tends to not be that sophisticated and to be on a different wavelength. So you put him out of his element. It's a bit like putting a fish out of
sea.
Now
the gardeners will sue you. Now they will.
Luckily, I didn't name any.
Now, I would think for a private home, an estate, the matter of discretion and the background checks and all of that, I think if I were to, anyone were to bring you a man and say, here, I want him to butler. I want him to be perfect. I want him, 4 months on coming back, I want him to be a full-fledged butler. What would that cost to train an individual for this type of work? Because this is very refined work. Not everyone can be a butler. The person has to have those qualities and then
yes.
Want to be trained, of course. But what would that cost if someone said to you, here's the man, he's highly intelligent, he does this, that, and the other for me, he's great, I want him, he's taking over for the butler position. Get him ready. What would that cost? You know?
Well, we tend to charge by the day. So, and if you're looking at 30 days of work, you're looking at $25,000, $30,000. That's just for a month.
That seems very reasonable to prepare him.
Oh, it is. I recently placed somebody that didn't have any butler experience, but did have experience in service, not private service necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
But I only spent 5 days with them, and I got their skill sets up quite dramatically. Although when they did a formal dinner, one of them froze at the wheel, so to speak. It was rather embarrassing. But once he got over his nerves, he did very well. But one can, even in just 1 week, one can bring someone up to the point where using common sense and having someone who's reasonably intelligent, you can get them to the point where they have the right attitude, the right mindset, and several of the skills that are required. So it doesn't have to take... I mean, certainly doing it for 30 days and doing it and at a cost of $30,000, it's not much in the overall scheme of things. Because the other thing is, if you're bringing in someone who's not that experienced or trained, they're going to be willing to go for a lower pay scale to start with. And that is the difference between paying someone who's already experienced a higher rate and bringing in someone, a newbie, and training them up. The difference in the salary would probably take care of the cost of training.
Oh, I would think so.
Yeah.
And I'd also like to, the list, I'm sorry, I'm so attracted to the back of the book. This is a wonder. It's a wonder.
Thank you.
A butler. What do they carry on their person? That's fascinating.
Yes, you might think you look a bit like a Michelin man if you carried everything on that list, but actually things are fairly small and
these
compact
these days.
These are
small things, yeah, that they fit in your pocket, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Tell us about what does a butler carry on his person? Tell us, what would you say that is?
Well, first off,
you
need...
items.
Obviously, you need pen, but what I recommend is a leather-bound 3x5 card holder.
Mm-hmm.
You can get them online. I got mine in Harrods, which is very nice, and it's 25 years old and still going very strong. Burgundy leather, gold corners. It's just a very smart thing to pull out of your pocket and take notes whenever your boss gives you instructions. If you're a really fast typer, actually, I'd bring it up to the 21st century and get a blueberry or blackberry, whatever they're called.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an apple person, so.
mm-hmm.
because in there, you can have your entire butler book. You can take notes on an immediate basis that the boss gives. And you can make your calls and everything. So you've got a virtual desk in just one little palm. Palm-sized instrument. So that's a definite needed and wanted. I would also say if your boss is a cigar smoker that you have a cigar cutter and a butane lighter. You obviously want to have a bit of money on you and credit cards, phone cards. If you're dealing with people speaking a foreign language, you should always have a little pocket translator. And I'd always have a butler's friend, otherwise known as a waiter's friend, otherwise known as a bottle opener.
Just in case they don't find one, or they just want to break out a bottle, and they, I see, you have to be ready to not just toss it and bring it to the table. You've got to, I guess, be ready to open it up and serve, too.
Exactly. You should always be prepared, like the Boy Scout motto.
I'm looking at this wonderful, the House Servants Directory of 1827.
Oh, Samuel Adams, wasn't it, I think?
Mr. Roberts laid down the vital points a butler should know in his The House Servants Directory of 1827. This book is marvelous. It's called The Butlers and Household Managers, 21st Century Professionals. It's on sale. It's available right on our website at Syndicated News. Go look at the, when you wave your mouse over the segment, Stevens Ferry's segment, you'll be able to see right away that the book is right there. I don't think just butlers. I think this would help you run any home. And 1827, that was the expectation, a very high expectation. Now then, the hotel butlers, I mean, that's happening all over the world. I saw that in the islands in the Caribbean. I saw that in Helsinki. I saw that in St. Petersburg, Russia.
Yep. It's worldwide.
And, in Russia, with all the brand new millionaires, they are now, you know, many of the larger homes. I saw butlers where 11 years ago when I was there, I didn't see butlers. Now I'm seeing butlers.
Yep, you will. And in China, I think China is now number two in terms of number of millionaires. So the Chinese are wanting to get into butlers, but I think there's a cultural thing that we have to sort of get them used to the whole concept. I think after half a century of communism, the concept of luxury needs to be, and discreet service and so forth needs to be put back into the country. I'm sure it used to exist before.
Well, I saw that one restaurant was employing Western young men as
yes.
waiters, and the waiters were dressed and behaved like butlers, and the women love it. Did you know that there's a line three abreast outside that restaurant?
No.
That goes
well,
around
there you
the
go.
Corner.
And
they want to be served by a butler, and they're willing to pay any amount to get in there, the women.
Well, they're quite right. There's a certain cachet to being a butler and also to having one. If the service is good, it's worth it.
So are you doing some training for these families? Because they're growing in leaps and bounds in China, the new millionaire Chinese family. I mean, are you preparing for that need? Are you setting up staff in China?
China is the only place we don't have a VP. We've got all the other continents covered. But we are talking to actually probably about half a dozen Chinese from a government level to entrepreneurial level, Chinese organizations about setting up butler training. That's why I say they're sort of edging into it. They're sort of nudging to try and get into this thing, but it's a slow process. Negotiation.
They're very happy to have American and European butlers. They don't want Chinese butlers.
No.
They want European and American butlers and Canadian, absolutely.
Yeah. There is that interest, obviously, but actually I have to tell you that they do want to have the Chinese trained as that. That's what all the negotiations are about.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you're going to be training them, I take it. You're going to bring some
I think so, yes.
Oh, I can't. This is wonderful. We're going to be talking about global business with China, and I think we're going to have you back to talk about that. This evening has been spent with Stephen Ferry. He trains butlers for estates, private homes, villas, and large hotels. I can't thank you enough for visiting with us this evening. And
I thank you, Ruthie, for being such a wonderful host.
Oh, we had such fun learning all about... I tell you this, everyone, you must get this book, Butlers and Household Managers. It's right on the website. It's right on the website, and I think you're all going to enjoy it because eventually you'll all want a butler. It's good night from Blog Talk Radio, Syndicated News.